Okay, start.
Okay, so good Erev Yontov to everybody. Obviously, this is chus to be able to learn together on Erev Zman Matan Torah. Obviously, I thought to speak about the Yontov. And, you know, when you sit around looking for halachic topics in connection to Shavuos, you know, you come up pretty empty. There's no sukkah, there's no lulav, there's no shofar, there's no matzah. You know, there's all these cheesecake jokes you could make. But it's, you know, it's lacking in substance on the one hand, halachically, but on the other hand, you know, it has huge substance, right? What could be more significant to us than Zman Matan Torah Seinu? And if that's the case, then the high point of Yontif is, I assume, you know, tomorrow morning, hearing Aseres HaDibros and hearing Kriyas HaTorah for, you know, with the story of the giving of the Torah. And there's nothing revolutionary there. But what I want to do is discuss two models, not so much of Torah, but two models of how we're supposed to look at, how we're supposed to... Henry, it's the base medrash of somebody who's making a lot of noise. It's always the base medrash of somebody who's making a lot of noise. Okay. On the one hand, right, you couldn't overstate or overemphasize the importance of Matan Torah and the importance of Aseres HaDibros. But what if it turns out that there's a huge danger in that and that we really, really need to be careful of how much we emphasize Aseres HaDibros, or said a different way? Maybe the point is less about the substance and more about the experience. Okay? These are, you know, conflicting values in a number of ways, but, you know, even in the sources or even in how we approach it, what I want to suggest to you is there's two ways to approach Shavuos, or, you know, the laning for Shavuos. And one is the substance really matters. There's tons of sources about how Aseres HaDibros are the model for all of Tarayag Mitzvos. On the other hand, I'll prove to you that there's a huge danger in overemphasizing Aseres HaDibros, and it plays out in halachic terms, but I think it plays out for us in philosophic or even experiential terms, in terms of how we're supposed to feel during Kriyas HaTorah tomorrow. So let's start with, you know, one of the most famous Gemaros. It's funny, we all grew up knowing that there's 613 mitzvahs, there's Tayag mitzvahs, and of course there are. But it's basically the only source is, you know, a Gemara, what seems like an Agadata, but even if it's not, a Gemara at the end of Makos. Says the Gemara in the first source, Chav Gimel Amud Beis of Makos, Darash Rab Simlai. And if you don't recognize the Gemara, you'll certainly know the Limud. Sheish Meosu Shlosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemru Lo L'Moshe. Moshe received 613 mitzvos, broken up into two categories. Shlosh meos v'shishim v'chamesh lavin k'minyan yemos hachama, 365 prohibitions, corresponding to 365 days in a solar year. U'masayim v'arboim u'shmona aseh, and 248 positive commandments, k'neged eivarav shel adam, corresponding to the bones in the human body. Okay, we're not going to discuss these, but it's an easy mnemonic, and obviously it has some deeper meaning, which we don't have time to discuss. 365 days, 248 bones, makes 613. Ask the Gemara an obvious question. I'm from Mikra. Who told you? Where do you get 613 from? Answers the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kihilat Yaakov. Often the Gemara doesn't quote whole psukim. Says the Gemara, what's the limud? Torah b'gematria shisma'a v'chad srehavin. Torah, in gematria, the word Torah is 611. Anochi v'lo yiyelecha mipi hagvurashmanum. Right? Moshe got 611 mitzvos directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as everybody knows, because we were taught this from an early age, the first two of the Dibros were given directly to us. right? How do we know that? It's the grammar. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ashehotzeiti Eschem Me'eretz Yisrael Beis Avodim. Me. It's first person. Anochi Ashehotzeisicha. It's me. Lo Yihye Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. On my face. So the first two of the Dibros are said B'lashon Ya'ab in first person. Then you have Lo Tisa'at Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Then it reverts to third person where it's as if Moshe speaking and he's saying over what Hashem said. Okay, so the one and only real source for 613 mitzvos is the Pasuk Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Moshe taught us Torah, which b'gematria is 611. The first two we got directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So to a certain extent, you know, in this source, what's so significant about Har Sinai is the substance, right? We got 613 mitzvos. Okay, 10 we got as part of the Aseres HaDibros, and then the rest came after. But, you know, the substance is what matters. Okay, a different approach, again, not a conflicting approach, but a different, you can find in the psukim. Now, the psukim, you'll just say, okay, well, they're psukim. They're descriptive, and obviously the description is accurate. But you should know, these are the psukim that the Ramban thinks it's a mitzvah to recite every day. Here we go. Source number two. The Torah says as follows. Rak hi shamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od. Please be very, very careful. Pen tishkachet ha-divarim asher ra'u einecha. So that you don't forget that which your eyes saw. Okay? So whatever that means, I know one thing. Our eyes didn't see any substance. We didn't see the Aseres HaDibros. Okay? Upen yasuru milvavcha kol yimechayecha, so that you don't remove from your heart all the days of your life. Rather, vahodatam livanecha v'livnei vanecha. Rather, you should tell this over to your children. What should you tell over? So you would expect pasuk yud to be, you know, the substance, the Aseres HaDibros. No. What should you tell over? Yom asher amadeta lifnei Hashem alokecha b'chorev. You should tell your children about the day that you stood at Har Sinai. Be'emor Hashem elai hakeli et ha'am. When God said to Moshe, gather the people of Ashmiim et divorai, and I will let them hear my voice, so they'll hear me. What, to what end? Asher yilmedun li'yira oti kol hayamim asher heim chayim al adama ve'et b'nehem yilamedun. What was the purpose of Maimon Har Sinai? So that the Jews should fear me, or be overwhelmed by me, or be in awe of me, and they should share that feeling and that experience with their children. And those are the psukim. And now the Ramban in source number three, in the Hasagot to the Sefer HaMitzvos, right? The Ramban did not write his own Sefer HaMitzvos. He wrote comments on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and where he felt like the Rambam should have counted something that he didn't count, the Ramban counts it in a section called, in our case, Shichichat Halavin, or as the Ramban writes more fully, mitzvot sheshichachan harav, mitzvot that the Ramam forgot to count. What's number two in the Ramam's count? The Ramban's count. Vamitzvah shniya shenimnaanu shelo nishkach ma'amad Har Sinai. We're prohibited. It's a lo tasei to forget Har Sinai. V'lo nasir oto mida'atenu. And we can't remove it from our thoughts. Aval yihiyu einenu v'libeinu sham kol hayamim. But we're supposed to feel like we were there, right? If anybody says the sheish zichirot at the end of the siddur in Shachris, those are six things that the Ramban thinks you're supposed to remember every day. It's a pretty easy thing to do. If you live in Israel and they say ein kalokenu for an interminable amount of time every day, you could say it then. But says the Ramban, every day you're supposed to remember, not Aseres HaDibros, every day you're supposed to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the Ramban says, V'hakavana b'zeh gedolah ma'od. I won't read it inside because we'll run out of time. The Ramban basically says as follows. We'll come back to this later. What was the purpose of Ma'amad Har Sinai? And why did it have to unfold the way it did. So says the Ramban, there's no question that Jews at this point believed in Moshe Rabbeinu and believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they believed, meaning they believed that God speaks to human beings, or at least speaks to one human being and communicates, you know, his will to that person, and that person, you know, can assimilate it and transfer it to us. But says the Ramban, what happens in the future if there's a Navi Sheker and he could do tricks, right? And he shows up and he says, you got to tell you something, Shavuos is not the 50th day after Pesach. That's a misreading. Shavuos is always on a Sunday. It's Machas HaShavuos, whatever it is. So says the Ramban, human nature would be such that even if we stuck with our narrative, we would have doubts. Because this other guy seems really impressive, and he shows up and he does some tricks, and he does, maybe they're miracles, who knows? And he's contradicting what Moshe Rabbeinu said. But says the Ramban, at Har Sinai, we didn't believe. We saw with our own eyes. We became prophets. Klal Yisrael had a nevuah. They listened to God's voice directly. So he says, and it's a big theme in the Ramban, there's a difference between believing and knowing. And the purpose of Ma'amad Har Sinai is not Aseres HaDibros. It's to know that God speaks to human beings. It's to know that God is real, and when and if he chooses to, he can reveal himself to us. And people who stood at Har Sinai did not believe in God. They knew for a fact that God existed, and more significantly, they knew for a fact that God communicates with human beings. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was at that moment in time, became through knowledge, right, the authentic representative or Navi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, those are two models. Now let's look at some. I want to do three areas of halacha in which the uniqueness of Aseres HaDibros is either supported or is undermined and, you know, maybe put at risk, or maybe we think there's a risk. Let's start with the following point. Every day we say Az Yashir in davening, right? It's a really, it's a great story, Kriyat Yamsuf, you know, it makes sense, makes complete sense. You know, many Siddurim have after davening, people say Parshas Haman. People say the Parsha of the Akedah in Karbanos, right? These are significant stories in the Torah. But there's no Siddur that I know of that has Aseres HaDibros. And you ask yourself, hey, Aseres HaDibros, that seems really important. How come that didn't make it into davening? It's not terribly long. We could say that. And the question is strengthened by the fact that we used to do it. And not only did we used to do it, they used to do it, you know, in the Young Israel of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning before there was a Siddur. We like to say, because it's true, that the Siddur was created by Anshei Knesset Agdola, you know, right after or at the end of Bayis Sheni. But everybody knows there was no organized davening in Bayis Rishon. There were Karbanos. But it's not exactly true. And if you look in source number 4, this is a Mishnah in Tamid. The Mishnah is describing what the morning looked like in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Amar Laim HaMemuneh, the person in charge of the Kohanim, told them, this is early, early in the morning. Really, it's probably still a little bit dark. It's before Karbanos. Baruchu bracha achat, make one bracha, v'hein baruchu. Okay, whatever that bracha is, not for now. Then here it is. Karu Aseret. Question? No? Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Karu Aseret Hadvarim. They read Aseret Hadibros. Ushma Vahaya Im Shamoa and Vayomer. And Baruchu Ata'am Shalosh Brachot. What are they? Emes V'yatziv V'avodo B'chaskonim. Ubishabas Mosifin Bracha Achat Limishma Yotzen. And Shasta made another bracha. But the first thing they did in the Beis HaMikdash every day was read Aseres HaDibros. And when
Eli, I'm just sorry to interrupt, but I will tell you the Sfasemis, the Ekesh Sidurim, at the end by the Zchiris and everything, and before the Shlosh Esrei Midos, they do have their Aseres HaDibros.
Okay, I'm not.
So not that there's no synagogue.
The Arch Roll has it too.
Okay, I'm not offended by anything. What I could say is, sometimes you say stuff just because it like gives the sheer like a flow, and after you say it, you think, yeah, but I don't need that point to make my point. So let's do it this way, okay? They said Aseres HaDibros, right? I'm not going to embarrass Jackie by asking whether he says Aseres HaDibros every day, notwithstanding the fact, or David, even though it's in the Art Scroll Sitter, okay? My guessing is nobody on this call says Aseres HaDibros every day, and nobody feels... Okay, well, watch. Now let's change the question then. Is David Binyamin Federbush going to be rewarded, or does he make a terrible mistake every day? So the first thing we know is in the Beis HaMikdash, they did it. And why they do it? So says the Rambam on the mission. It's obvious. Vahatam shekorim aseret hadvarim b'chol yom mipnei shehein yisod hatzivui utchilato. Aseret was the foundation of our religion and the beginning of the commands, right? The first 10 commands that we got from God. Probably, if you ignore the other ones, are Aseres HaDibros. So nobody, if you came to shul and you heard people saying Aseres HaDibros, you wouldn't go, why are they doing that? You probably would think, why don't I do it? But the answer is a Yerushalmi in source number 5. The Yerushalmi says, D'Rav Masna v'Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Amar Travaihon Amrin Bidin Hu Sheyehu Korin Aseres HaDibros B'chol Yom. Really, mitzad hadin, we should all be saying Aseres HaDibros every day, and that really means, as part of davening, mipnei ma ein korin osan. So why don't we? Mipnei ta'anas haminim, because of the arguments or the complaints of the minim. Minim is like a broad term for apikorsim and kofrim, but in this context, almost certainly, it means Sedukim, okay, or a form of them, who said the following. What's the problem? Shelo yihiyu omrim, so that the people won't be able to say, oh, you know why they say Aseres HaDibros? Eilu levadam nitnu lo lemoshe b'sina. Because only the Jews say Aseres HaDibros every day, because the other ones were made up later. It's only the 10 that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's only the 10 that we have to keep. All the other ones, either they're rabbinic, they are made up by false, it doesn't matter. Okay? That's the argument. So says the Yerushalmi, and it's really fascinating, we stopped saying Aseres HaDibros, even though we really should, because we're concerned about attacks from heretics who are going to claim that, Aseres HaDibros, we say them every day because they're the only ones that really matter. So the whole question in halacha about not doing things because they could be misinterpreted or people could argue, it's an interesting question. One, by the way, interesting, one that has to do with Shavuos is apparently the idea or the minhag of, spreading greenery and making the shuls beautiful with green stuff to remind us of Har Sinai, it's a very, very old minhag that used to include trees. And the Vilna Gaon, I believe, is the one who said, that there are people who use trees in a different holiday celebration. I assume he was referring to Christmas. And so we shouldn't do it. Okay, so the whole discussion of who comes first and who's minhagim and whether we should change and why we should change, that's interesting. But this is, in fact, the reason. We used to say Aseres HaDibros every day. And all of a sudden, if I could broaden the idea, it's not just at Stukim. It gives you a sense that Aseres HaDibros matter more than Basar B'Chalav and Shatnez and other mitzvos. And so Chazal kind of stepped in and said, this isn't good, because it makes it sound like Aseres HaDibros are more important than the rest of the Torah. And that's a risk. And we actually paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in the first siman of Shulchan Aruch, it's like in the middle someplace, the Ramah says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes as a minag yafeh, people who say different things every day, including Aseres HaDibros. And the Ramah says, V'davka biyachid mutar lomar Aseres HaDibros b'chol yom. No, it's only biyachidus that you're allowed to say Aseres HaDibros every day. And maybe it's a nice thing to do. Aval asur la'omram bitzibur. And this I'm sure of. Whatever fancy sitter Jackie and David have, it's not in Psuki de Zimra. It's not before Aleinu and the Shir Shel Yom. It's in the sitter, with the idea being that people can say it b'yichidus, but we're terrified to say it b'rabim or b'tzibur, because again, it could be used or could be misunderstood to say that Aseres HaDibros is more important. And the problem is whenever something is more important, then the other things become less important. So that's the first area of halacha in which you see this kind of sensitivity to making Aseres HaDibros too important, because it de-emphasizes the rest of the Torah. Okay, that's area one. Area two, which I would have thought is just, it's just like it's a minhag thing. Who cares if you stand or you sit for Aseres HaDibros? So the answer is, it turns out, for hundreds of years, we've been fighting over this point. The drasha to stand, which I think is a lovely drasha, is source number 7. The pasuk says, "Vayot prato Elokim min hamachaneh, vayit yatzevu b'tachti tahar." Moshe took the Jewish people out from the camp, vayit yatzevu, and they stood b'tachti tahar. They stood at the feet of the mountain. Now, I wouldn't have thought that I needed a pasuk to teach me that the Jews stood, right? I assume they didn't have those the fold-up chairs you bring to like teenage little league games to sit on, and those kinds of chairs. I assume they didn't bring out picnic blanket. It's hard to imagine they were doing anything other than standing. So early sources say it's a lovely minhag to recreate Maimad Har Sinai on Shavuos morning by standing for Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? Comes along the Rambam, and it's really fascinating. You think that it's only nowadays that there are like arguments about minhagim or shuls or rabbis, right? If you look up all of Reish Samach Gimel, which is fascinating, you'll see the backstory. The backstory is this shul used to have a minhag of standing for Aseres HaDibros. And the new rabbi showed up and said, no, you should sit. So the people told on him to the Rambam. They wrote to the Rambam. They said, hey, our new rabbi is telling us to do this. Isn't he wrong? And the Rambam says, no. V'chein haya ra'ui la'asot. Not only isn't he wrong, he's right. B'chol makom, in all places, shemin hagam la'amod, sarich liman am. The Rambam says, if you come to a shul where the minhag is to stand for Aseres HaDibros, you should tell him to sit. Why? Biglal ma shemagia b'zeh min ha-hefseid ba'emunah. Says the Rambam, experientially it might be great, but it undermines our belief in Torah. Why? Uma shemadamim, because people imagine sheyesh ba-Torah madregot, that there are levels to Torah. Umiktsatan me'ula mimiktsata. And some parts of the Torah are more important than other parts. Vizeh ra ad ma'od. Right? That's a great line. This, says the Rambam, is very bad. Umin hara'oi listom kol haptachim shemeviim lezot ha'emunah hara'ah. Says the Rambam, it's appropriate to do everything we can to stop people from thinking this way. Right? It's clear that the Rambam, it's not so much Tzedukim, but the Rambam was very, very bothered by people's assumptions that there are parts of the Torah that are more important than other parts, which again means there are parts of the Torah that are less important than other parts. Because the Rambam's view was, either you believe that every word of the Torah was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, or there's something wrong with your belief. And if everything was given by HaKadosh Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu, then everything is literally the Dvar Hashem. And I couldn't find it on my Bar Ilan, but it exists. The Rambam in his Hakdama to Perek Chelek, when he talks about this issue, says that the pasuk of Vitimna Haisa Pilegesh LaElifaz Ben Esav is as significant as the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Rambam picked a lot of weird psukim, which, by the way, started this. I once told this to my family many years ago, and you know, every once in a while there's some Sefer Torah writing thing, and you know, you could buy the whole Sefer and you could buy or Bereishis or a parish or whatever. Our thing was, we want to buy the pasuk of Vitimna Haisa Pilegesh, because that's as important as Shema Yisrael. Why bid against somebody else for Shema Yisrael? All the losers want to buy Shema Yisrael. Only people who know the Rambam know that Timna Haisapi Legesh is such an important pasuk in the Torah, even though presumably we could have lived without it. So here you really get a sense for the Rambam in particular, but it's a whole approach that the Rambam couldn't argue that, I don't know, learning-wise, the Timna Haisapi Legesh is up there with Shema Yisrael Hashem. Sensitive to this idea that the second that some part of the Torah is more important than another part of the Torah, we're in deep trouble, right? And that's why the Rambam thinks is one of the klalei emuna, that we have to believe that every word of the Torah that we have now was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's terrified that if that's not the case, you know, we will be helping, you know, Bible critics and people who disagree with us to prove that, you know, this is more important and this is less important. Okay? So that's source number two. That's kind of halachic area number two. By the way, I don't know that we've accepted the Rambam halacha l'maisa. I think the minhag in our shuls is to stand. There is plenty of support for that minhag. I'll say this. It seems obvious to me that the easiest thing to do, if you want to stand, is to stand for the entirety of Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos, right? If you stand up, you know, if they bang and right before the first pasuk, everybody stands up, right? That seems problematic, because if you came into shul and you were a guest and you didn't know anything, you weren't that religious, you would understand immediately, oh, this must be the important part of the Torah. So, halacha l'maisa, people who want to stand for Aseres HaDibros, I think, should obviously stand for all of laning. Rav Soloveitchik thought you should always stand for all of laning, because every part of laning is the recreation of Maamad Har Sinai. It's public Torah learning as occurred at Har Sinai, and that should be done standing. Okay.
The same issue is applicable to the Shira, where many people stand for that, and others have the minhag to stand for the whole Aliyah.
Right, but I think, again, it's interesting. I think that's less dangerous, because it's not halal. I can't say this for sure. I didn't see it in the Rambam. But, you know, I don't think the Rambam would have gotten all worked up if people stood for Balak. I think the point here is that there is reason to believe that Aseres HaDibros, you know, is more important, however you say it, right? There's tons of Gemaras and Medrashim. Like, you know, we're not making it up, right? The idea, the Ramban wrote an essay about how all of 613, all the Rishonim did, or the Gaonim at least, how you could derive all 613 from the 10. Right? It's not just any psukim, you know, it's more dangerous, because on some level it's true. Okay, so we've looked at how Aseres HaDibros was kicked out of the Siddur. Yeah?
Well, wouldn't that be with every minhag that we established, that we put emphasis to show a certain type of, you know, ava to, you know, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like, we stay up Shavuos night. We should stay up, you know, every Friday night. Friday night's more important to stay up and learn Torah than Shavuos night to be in, you know.
So that's the point I'm trying to make. It's obviously, you know, there are things that, you know, there are people on this call, you know, who love Shalach Manos, right? So nobody thinks, hey, if you love Shalach Manos, it looks like you love Sukkah less. But here you understand, it's Aseres HaDibros. You know, there are no other religions that are concerned about Tikkun Leil Shavuos and that use it to attack us. There are no other religions that, you know, use Sukkah or whatever. But the Rambam knew what he's talking about. There were people, there were groups who attacked us by saying something that, you know, isn't crazy. The fact is, we heard Aseret Sedarim was from God and not the rest of the Torah. So I think we're particularly sensitive to that. One other area quickly, and that is how we lane it. Okay? There are two ways of laning. There's what's called Tam Tachton and Tam Elyon, the bottom and the top. Okay, they got those names because the Tam Elyon has more like higher trups. But everybody knows this. In fact, probably I think you know it less. I think in Bnei Yeshurun, every time we read Aseret Sedarim, we read it with Tam Elyon. Okay, the difference really being that Tam Elyon turns Aseret Sedarim into 10 psukim. Every dibra, no matter how long or how short, becomes its own pasuk, which yields bizarre things. Because everybody knows that the shortest pasuk in the Torah is three words, Vayagar Yitzchak Bigrar and Uvinei Dan Chushim, right? It's like a great trivia question. Three words, this is what, but it's not true. In Tam Elyon, there's a whole pasuk that just says Lo Tignov. The whole pasuk says Lo Tinaf, right? There are three or four, that's all, the shortest psukim in the Torah. Similarly, I don't remember off the top of my head what's the longest pasuk in the Torah. But the answer in Aseret Sedarim is the one about Shabbos, which I think is 60-something, you know, words in one pasuk. Of course, it's not supposed to be one pasuk. So, again, coming back to, in Israel, what I see here, on Shavuos, they read Aseret Sedarim with Tam Elyon, which again means, you're not really reading the psukim, you're reading the dibros. Okay, and I think in Chutz La'aretz, mostly the minhag is, even when you're just reading Yisro on Shabbos or Vo'as Chanan, you read Tam Elyon. Ad Kidei Kach, I know that I try very hard to never have to lean on Vo'as Chanan on Yisro here, because I don't think I could relearn it. Right? It's so intuitive to me to read it the way we read it on Shavuos. It's also obvious to me that the minhag in Chutz La'aretz is wrong, right? Because then, you know, it's one thing to recreate Maamar Har Sinai once, but if every time you read Aseret Sedarim, you read it with like almost a different trop than the rest of the Torah, it is problematic along the lines that we've discussed. The Chizkuni talks about it more or less in source number 9. He says, Yesh Barov HaDibrot Shtei Niginot. There are two ways to read it. Lameit Sheba Atzeret. Shehi Dugma Matan Torah, right? On Shavuos, we read it with the breaks being for Aseret Sedarim, because that's kind of what happened at Matan Torah. And other times, we read it normally. And so he says, V'dibrot, third line where the cursor is, V'dibrot lo tzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneh, karin biniginot haktanot lasot dalet psukim, shein dalet dibrot. Right? It turns each two-word dibra into its own pasuk, lo tignov, lo, right? Aval bechodesh shvat, kisharin beparshat Yitro, kishar shabbatot hashana, korin lo yelecha, v'zachar b'neginot haktanot, la'asot mikol echad mehem dalet psukim. V'dibrot lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneh, korin b'neginot hagidolot, la'asotan pasuk echad. Why? Lefi shalom matzinu bechol hamikra pasuk mishtei tevot. Because we don't have two-word psukim. Chutz me'elu ubishvuot v'davka kmo shepirish lamala. Okay, he says, there is no such thing as a two-word pasuk, unless you're laning differently, because you're laning not Parshas Yisro, but you're laning something called Aseret Sedarim, which he said should only be done on Shavuos. Okay, so again, we have three kind of halachic areas. One is saying Aseret Sedarim during davening, which we've gotten rid of because we're afraid that it makes them look more important. Standing for Aseret Sedarim, which the Rambam is strongly against because it makes them look more important. And laning Aseret Sedarim in a different trup, which, you know, it seems like we've kind of come to a compromise on that, which is on Shavuos, we read it in a different trop, Tam Elyon. But on Yisro and Va'aschanan, we read it like the rest of the Torah. Okay, so you see here both the upside and the downside of Aseres HaDibros, right? The idea that, you know, they're the word of the living God that we heard with our own ears, but that's a danger. Okay, now, how does it relate to us and how does it relate to our experience of Matan Torah on Shavuos? So two great Rambans, we'll see what we have time for. The Ramban says, V'anachon be'inai shamar, that God says to Moshe, Ani bo'elecha ba'av he'anan, I'm coming to you in a cloud, Shetigash ata el ha'arafel ba'avu yishma ha'am b'dvarai, so that you can approach the cloud, so the people will hear me talking to you. And here it comes. V'yihiyu heim atzmam nevi'im b'dvarai, they themselves will become prophets. Lo she'ya'aminu mipi acherim, they won't have to believe other people. This is a big theme in the Ramban, right? The Ramban says, how do we know God created the world? We don't. We have a couple, you know, we believe that, but nobody saw it. Okay, the Ramban thinks that's one form of belief in Judaism. That's Zecher L'Maaseh Breishis. But Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim is, no, my great-great-great-grandfather saw it. And so, as the Ramban, at Har Sinai, you know, millions of Jews became Nevi'im at that moment, and therefore they didn't believe they knew. Now, how does the Ramban understand? And this, I think, the Ramban makes a basic point, but I think it's the key to everything. Okay, here it comes. Let's say this before we read the Ramban. If you don't believe in Maimon Har Sinai, right, that's going to be a much more fundamental flaw in your Judaism and your relationship with God, then if for whatever reason you find it hard to believe that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, had a concubine named Timnah. Now, I don't know why you would care about the concubines of Eliphaz, but we know intuitively that Maimon Har Sinai really matters. Now, let's see why. So says the Ramban in source number 11, again, it's Perek Chaf, Pasuk Vav, you could read it, the Rambans on Aseres HaDibros are amazing. If you're looking for something fun to do to learn over Shavuos, doing Rambans on Aseres HaDibros is a great thing to do. Says the Ramban as follows, it's kind of revolutionary. He says, Bevadai shekol Aseret HaDibrot shamu kol Yisrael mipi Elokim kipshuto shel katov. Says the Ramban, the Torah makes it pretty clear that Klal Yisrael heard all 10 Dibros. So what about this fancy thing that we heard the first two, but we didn't hear the last eight, which is the general position, certainly the one that Rashi advocates? Says the Ramban, not exactly. He says, Aval Bishnei HaDibrot HaRishonot, with respect to Anochi and Lo Yielecha, Hayu Shomim HaDibur, Umevinim Oto Mimenu, Moshe. He said, when we heard the first two Dibros, we understood them. The same exact way that Moshe understood them, we understood them. It was easy, right? We didn't need any help. So God spoke to us in first person, the way a master would speak to his servant. Moshe is karti. Umikan va'elach, but with respect to numbers 3 through 10, Bishar hadibrot, Yishmu kol hadibur, velo yavinu oto. They heard the voice of God, but they didn't understand what God was saying. V'yitzarech Moshe letargen lohem kol dibur v'dibur ad sheyavinu oto mi Moshe. So they heard the third dibra. They're like, Moshe, we didn't understand. We know that God said something to us. We didn't understand. And Moshe had to translate it. Moshe had to explain it. So he says, on the one hand, v'hakavana, the intention was, haita, b'zeh, kidei sheyihiyu kulam nevi'im be'emunat Hashem ubi'isur avodazara kasher perashti, lefi shehem ha'ikar l'chol ha'torah v'hamitzvah. Says the Ramban, God wanted us to hear from his own voice and understand that we're obligated to believe in God and we're prohibited to worship any other form of a God, because they are the foundations of Judaism. Aval bishar hadibrot yikablu mipi Moshe be'uran im shmiatam kol hadvarim. But with respect to the last eight dibros, we heard them, we didn't understand them. Moshe had to explain them to us. Bishar hamitzvot ya'aminu b'Moshe b'kol. This, I think, is the key line. And with respect to the rest of the mitzvos, we will now believe Moshe. The way the Ramban sets it up, historically, there are three categories of mitzvos. There's the first two mitzvos, which we heard in an absolute prophecy directly from God. Then there's number 3 through 10, which we know God said, but we needed Moshe to interpret. So we were kind of like half Nevi'im or fake Nevi'im. We know that it happened. We just needed Moshe's help to understand it. Then there's number 11 through 6-13. But the purpose of Ma'amad Har Sinai was to set us up for the rest of the Torah. The purpose was less, these are the 10 most important mitzvahs in the Torah. The purpose was more to say, you see how God communicates with human beings? Well, once you know that for a fact, then it'll be fine that everything else in the Torah, which is obviously the overwhelming majority, you have to trust Moshe for. But if you don't believe in Ma'amad Har Sinai, not Aseres HaDibros, if you don't believe that God gave, you know, that God speaks to human beings, but we don't always understand, right? And then you have the third stage, which is God speaks to human beings, but we have to believe the human being that God spoke to him, because we didn't experience it. And so Ma'amad Har Sinai for the Ramban, and I think on some level for the Rambam also, right? If you make it too important, you're undermining the whole purpose. The purpose of Ma'amad Har Sinai is as much for the first 10 as it is for 11 through 6-13. The whole point of Ma'amad Har Sinai is to teach us that the whole Torah was given by God. And so if you make it too important, right, you undermine the message. And that's why I think Chazal was so incredibly sensitive to running a risk that Aseres HaDibros would be too important. Because if you separate Aseres HaDibros from the Torah, right, you've created a crisis of belief. And that's why the Rambam is so insistent on there not being more or less important places in the Torah. And that's why I think this Ramban is so beautiful. The idea that it's not Aseres HaDibros and everything else, right? It's the first two, which we heard as absolute prophets and understood 100%. Then there's this transitional stage where Moshe helps us understand the word of God. We know it's the word of God, but we need Moshe's help to understand. And then you have the next stage, which is essentially the whole Torah. And there, we didn't hear it from God. But having been at Har Sinai, we believe that which Moshe is transmitting to us is true. One practical application of this, because before we run out of time, I'll just throw it in. You know, we all know that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first of the Dibros. Mostly we know this because we usually grew up in shuls where over the Aron Kodesh or someplace else, it has that Aseres HaDibros, and Anochi is the first one. Okay, that itself is a huge machlokas. And very quickly, what it boils down to, the Rambam thinks it is, the Bahag thinks it isn't. How could the Bahag think it isn't? How, you know, says the Bahag, the idea of commanding belief doesn't make sense, right? What makes sense is that once you believe in God, now here's the Tarayag Mitzvos. But if you don't believe in God, what's the point of commanding it? And what's the point of including it in the Tarayag Mitzvos? Said a different way, the Bahag thinks that belief in God is too important to be in the Tarayag Mitzvot. It's the foundation, right? Once you believe in God, once you accept the fact that there's a government, Now you have to obey the rules, but that's the foundation for it. And it's so compelling that you think to yourself, well, why does the Rambam include it? Doesn't it really, stand on its own? And there are a number of reasons. I once heard Rav Rosenzweig give this reason, that the Rambam didn't want to disassociate belief in God from mitzvos. Why not? So I don't know if he said this, but if he didn't say it, I'll say it. Because every time you do a mitzvah, it ought to be part of, or it ought to be a kiyum of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When I take a lulav, right, instead of just getting a mitzvah of taking a lulav, maybe I get two mitzvahs. I took a lulav, and by taking a lulav, I am by my action, I am confirming my belief in God, because why else would I do it? And so even philosophically, having any kind of distinction between the Aseres HaDibros and the rest of the Torah is problematic. The Rambam wants Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and the Ramban agrees with him, to be part of the commandments, to be something given over as part of the Torah, not something separate or apart, different from the Torah. It needs to be part of it. Aseres HaDibros have to be, right, an example that allows us to believe in the entirety of the Torah. And that's why I think, in the two models, at least in my mind, there's no doubt that the key point of Shavuos is not Aseres HaDibros. It's the fact that God stood up, introduced himself to us and said, I'm giving you the Torah. Now, I'm only giving you the first 10 right now. But because I'm giving you the first 10, I'm allowing you to understand that that which comes after is not more important and not less important. And so I don't think it's really about Aseres HaDibros. I think it's about our relationship with God. And Rav Asher Weiss likes to quote the Kutzker Rebbe. It's a cool line. I think it's the Kutzker Rebbe, who said, Matan Torah happened once in history, but Kabbalah HaTorah can happen as often as we want it to be, right? It's when we re-experience a connection to God, when we believe that God can and does communicate with us directly. Does he do it all the time? Does he do it every day? Does he do it as often as we want him to? No. But I think at Matan Torah, at Kriyas HaTorah tomorrow morning, our focus is supposed to be less on the details and much more on the fact that there was a point in time in history where God revealed himself in all of his glory, to 2 million people. And in the Kuzari, I'll end with this. This speaks to me. It may not speak to everybody here. The Kuzari says, what's the difference between Judaism and Christianity? Why am I sure that Judaism is true? So the Kuzari gives a very practical answer. He says, in Christianity, all of the big events and all the miracles took place in front of a few people in private, or maybe, I'm not so up on these things, maybe a few hundred people. He said, you can't insert into history an event that took place in front of 2 million people. Matan Torah, it's too big an event to introduce into history. It has to be that there was a continuous tradition that this had been true. And, that's the point. Matan Torah and Aseres HaDibros and Maimon Har Sinai are much more important for what they prove about the truth of Judaism than they are for what they are. I'm sure there are tons of theories that explain, why Aseres HaDibros are more important. But I don't think that's our focus on Shavuos. I think the opposite. On Shavuos, we're supposed to be at Har Sinai as if Matan Torah proves the rest of the Torah. As if Matan Torah proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants to, can appear to us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can speak to human beings and speak to them both in ways that they understand and in ways that they don't understand. And when they don't understand, they have to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's the transition to the rest of the Torah. So, my plan for tomorrow morning is, again, much more emotional, much more to try to re-experience what Maimon Har Sinai is about and what it says about God's ability to communicate with the Jewish people, and much less about the technical details of Aseres HaDibros. I'm not advocating, not learning Aseret HaDibros. But I think the bigger point is the bigger point. All right, Chag Sameach to everybody.
So that fits in with why we read Maaseh